Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we are picking up the scriptures here at verses 11. Verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, then opened their treasures. And they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Arise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And then also verses 19 and 20. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the Lord's, or the child's life, rather, are dead. And when he arose, he took the child and his mother, and went into the land of Israel. There are many parts of the Christmas story that we study every year. And one of the things that are a very important part of the Christmas story is the role of the angels and what they did, not only concerning the event itself, but also in subsequent days following the actual birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In recent years, there has been a lot of interest shown on the part of Bible scholars and also religious book publishers and so forth, talking about the subject of angels. And unfortunately, not everything that is being spoken about regarding angels is necessarily true. We need to always judge every book by the book, the Word of God, the Scriptures. And of course, if a human author does not measure up to what the Word of God teaches us, well then, we know where the truth lies and where it does not. We want to certainly be informed about different ideas that people have, but we don't want to necessarily follow things that are not biblical. Now, when you talk about the subject of angels, I just want to remind you of a couple basic facts, first of all. Number one, angels are created beings, even as we human beings were created. It's not quite the same situation. They were created before us. They were not formed either out of the dust of the ground like Adam was, but nonetheless, they are created beings. And even though they are created beings, they do not marry and they do not reproduce. They do not reproduce after their own kind. They are unique in that regard. A second thing that we need to remember regarding angels is that when you and I as human beings die, we pass on. If we know the Lord, we pass into heaven immediately. If we don't know the Lord, of course, that is not the same. We do not have the same destiny that believers have. I think you know about that. But when a believer dies, they pass into heaven. But I want you to understand that they do not at that point become angels. There are people around who actually teach that when a believer dies, they become angels. Well, there's nothing in the scripture to teach anything like that. Truly, we become departed spirits that move on into heavenly places, and one day we will be given brand new human bodies, but we will never become angels. Also, an interesting thing about angels in the Bible is that they always are spoken of as being masculine. Now, I don't know if that's just a literary thing or why that is, but that is true also in regard to the names that are given to certain angels. Now, most of the Bible, most of the angels, rather, who are in the Bible are never named. You simply read about a multitude of angels. But when they are named, they are given masculine names like Gabriel or like Michael. And that seems to be the case whenever a specific name is attached to any one angel. And one other thing, too, that we need to remember is that angels are messengers of God who minister on behalf of believers. You might think that you are at times all alone here in this world, that there's nobody that cares about you. Of course, you know that if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So you know that you are never alone. Christ Himself will always be with you. And by the very presence of His Holy Spirit in our hearts, we know that wherever we go, God is there with us as well. But the Bible also says that there are times when God commissions angels to function in certain capacities to help believers in Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some of the roles that they have played throughout history, beginning right with the Christmas story. At Christmas, the main role that they played at that time was that of being reporters. And you say, well, what did they report? Well, you know the story in Luke chapter 2. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the disciples there, the shepherds, were very much afraid. And of course, what did the angel first have to say, and the subsequent angels that also spoke on that occasion? They announced the arrival of Israel's Messiah. When they said unto you, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, that really says it all. The Messiah of Israel was going to be born in the city of David in Bethlehem, and He would be the Christ, that is the anointed one, the anointed Messiah that Israel was looking for so many years. And once this announcement was made, you know the story that the shepherds went down to the city of David, Bethlehem, and what did they find? They found exactly what God said they would find. They found Joseph there. They found Mary there. They found the little baby there, who was Jesus, and they found Him laying in a manger dressed in some scattered clothing of various types, and there He was, all wrapped up to protect Him. But the angels were the ones that reported the story. Maybe you never thought of angels as being messengers who were reporters, who had a reporter's role, but they did. Now, that is not the only role, however, that angels have had. In regard to the Christmas story, it didn't take too many weeks. And lo and behold, of course, you know the story about Herod. He decided that once he found out that the Messiah could well have been born in Bethlehem, he decided to kill all the male children in that city who were 2 years of age and younger. I was thinking about that this past week as I was looking at my grandkids there, little Gracie and Daniel, and I'm thinking, what kind of a leader would do something like that for their own selfish purposes? Innocently kill so many innocent children there and put parents through such pain and suffering just because of his own political reasoning. And, you know, that just shows the kind of man that he really was. And, of course, the good news is that even though this terrible slaughter was happening, the Bible told us, as we saw here, that an angel came to Joseph and told him to do what? To flee to Egypt. Here we see angels functioning now as more than just reporters of facts. They are also protectors. One of the terms that people often use regarding angels is guardian angels. And I think that's a good term because the term guardian speaks about protection, looking after someone to keep them safe. And that's certainly what the angel did here that came to Joseph. It was almost a situation that was like the Exodus, only in reverse. And Joseph is told, instead of to leave Egypt, he's told to go down to Egypt. And there he lived for an extended period of time with Mary and with Jesus, his son. And all of this happened, of course, to fulfill what the scriptures clearly taught. The Bible says that the prophet gives the testimony that out of Egypt I will call my son. Well, in order for the son to be called out of Egypt, he first had to go down to Egypt. And that was in response to the angel's protective message that they flee to the country of Egypt. A third thing that happened was that these were not only reporters and not only protectors, but they were also directors. They orchestrated every significant move that this family was to make. After Herod the wicked king died, it was safe to return, and not Herod had to be notified. Herod died, and therefore, because he was dead, Joseph had to be notified. And he was told by the angel now to go where? Back to Israel, more specifically to the town that they had started off with in the beginning, to the city of Nazareth. And that's where Jesus grew up as a young boy, in the city of Nazareth. A lot of people think that, you know, he was growing up in Bethlehem. Actually, he didn't spend an awful lot of time in Bethlehem in the first days of his life. But after the experience in Egypt, after Herod the king was dead and Jesus' life was no longer being sought by wicked Herod, well, it was opportunity for the family to go back to Nazareth where they had come. This is where it all started out in the first place, before the announcement was made about the census that was taking place in Bethlehem. And you know that story in regard to the Christmas event. But angels, you can see, are clearly directors. This angel appeared to him in a dream. Sometimes God, when he reveals certain thing through angels, will do it in two parts. He'll do it with two different forms of revelation. He'll use dreams or visions, and also angel messengers within those dreams or visions. And that seems to be what happened here. Now, this is not anything that is new, because angels have served as directors on many different occasions. Back in the Old Testament times, we know the story about how the angels directed Lot and his wife and the two daughters to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were told how to go about doing this. They were to flee from those wicked cities, and they were told not to look back. You know that Lot obeyed that command, and so did the daughters, but Mrs. Lot did not, and she looked back, and the Bible says that she became a pillar of salt. It's rather interesting, in one of the history programs on television, on the History Channel, they were doing some study of this area of the world, of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's amazing how many of the area around there in that location where they believe Sodom and Gomorrah was located, how many different salt configurations are found down there. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that one of those was Mrs. Lot, but certainly there are many pillars of salt in that area, probably dating back to the events of hundreds of years ago, during the time when God punished Sodom and Gomorrah. But you see, how did they get out of that city, out of that location? Well, it was angels who directed Lot to depart. The same thing is true in regard to the prophet Daniel. Daniel made many projections about prophetic events that were going to happen. And each time when these things were being made known through Daniel the prophet, they often came to him, first of all, by way of angel messengers. There's one interesting story in the book of Daniel that I've always been amazed at. And that is, one day Daniel was in prayer and he was asking God for help and for information. And the Bible says that the moment that Daniel prayed that prayer, God sent an angel to come down and tell Daniel the answer. However, when the angel arrived in that portion of the world where Daniel lived, wouldn't you know, there were demonic angels also functioning there. Even in the highest levels of government, that kind of scares you, doesn't it? To think that, you know, things that could be happening in government, no matter who's in office, could well be the result of activity that is happening that is not always from the best sources. And anyway, when this angel, though, from the Lord appeared there and was going to speak to Daniel, he ended up in a battle with the prince of Persia. And for 21 days, these two angels were duking it out until finally the angel of the Lord won and was able to get to Daniel and tell him the answer to the prayer that he had raised 3 weeks earlier than that. Well, that's quite amazing how God can direct people so specifically, and he can do this even through the ministry of angels. Another thing that angels do is talked about in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his public ministry. And you know that before he began that ministry, one of the things that happened, he went down into the country of the wilderness there, and it was a time of great spiritual searching. And it wasn't just being alone with God, it was also a time that he would undergo temptation, even from Satan. And it was a difficult time. I mean, here Jesus wrestling in the desert with Satan himself. And yet, Jesus, of course, is all-powerful, and he defeated Satan there in the desert. Three times we know, at least, that Satan came to him each time. Of the three, Jesus won the victory. He did it, by the way, the same way that you will win your spiritual victories too, and that's by knowing the Word of God. Three times Satan said, gave forth a temptation, and three times Jesus responded by quoting the scriptures, proving that what Satan was saying was false. And the interesting thing was, Jesus wasn't quoting the New Testament. He was quoting the Old Testament. And you might ask yourself, do I know the Old Testament well enough that I could quote Old Testament scripture to defeat Satan if I was put in a situation where I had to recall scripture to help me in that situation? It's amazing that Jesus knew the Old Testament very, very clearly. Well, after this was all done, what took place? The Bible says that angels came to comfort him and to encourage him. Jesus needed encouragement too. Remember, Jesus is God, but Jesus is also truly a human being. And he was tempted at all points like we are, yet he never sinned. But he went through all the trials, all the temptations, all the difficulties that human beings face, and yet it was angels who helped to encourage him in connection with that event. There's something else that we know about angels, and that is that they are also announcers. They announce very important events. Now, you might say, well, that's kind of like the reporters when they announced the birth of Messiah. And I suppose in that regard, these are rather similar. But there are certain things that Satan, or that angels rather, will announce, and certain things that they will not. When Jesus was on the cross, we sometimes we hear that song, you know, he could have called 10,000 angels. And you know what? He could have. He could have called a whole legion of angels to come and deliver him. But it was not the role of angels to deliver Jesus when he was on the cross. You say, well, man, if ever there was a time when it would have been useful to have them working on his behalf, certainly that would be the time, wouldn't it? No, because if angels took him off that cross, then you and I have no Savior. We have no one to pay the price for our sins. We are yet in our sins if Christ did not die for us on Calvary's cross. Now, although he could have called angels and been delivered from that cross, he didn't do that. But what did the angels announce? They announced what happened 3 days later. They announced the resurrection. That was one of the great privileges that angels had, of announcing to the women and to the disciples that Jesus was truly alive again. It isn't also just the resurrection that they were privileged to announce, but also they announced when he ascended back to heaven. What did they announce? An angel appeared and said, don't be afraid. The same Jesus you saw departing into heaven is going to come again in like manner. Angels announce even the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a very important role that they have. By the way, you and I have that same opportunity as well. We can declare to the world also. We can announce to the world and report to the world and witness to the world about the fact that Jesus lives, that our Savior is alive. Our Savior is not just some religious teacher who came along and who died and ended up just like any other human being. No, Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is truly God. He is truly man. He died, but he rose again. He ascended back to heaven. And the Bible says that he's going to come again. Sometimes people laugh at that idea. You know, they were already mocking in the days of the Apostle Peter. If you read 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll see that many people, even in Peter's day, were coming along and saying, "Where is the sign of his coming? Everything's been happening the same way it always has. You really mean to tell me, Peter, that he's going to come back again?" If they were saying that a couple thousand years ago, you can be sure that they're certainly saying the same thing now, maybe even with greater force. But I want to tell you, everything that the Bible ever predicted regarding Jesus Christ and his first coming, it happened just the way that God said it would happen. And it well appears now even that everything that God has said about the second coming of Jesus Christ, that what has been announced by prophets and by angels is going to happen in the same way that the scriptures declared it. The Bible says that one day he'll come on the clouds of heaven. The Bible says that one day every eye will see him. The Bible says that before that happens, the nation of Israel will be reestablished back in the land of Canaan once again, that they will become a literal nation, that they will have a place of power and authority in the coming days. And all of those things for hundreds of years were not true. But if the Bible says that something like that is going to happen, it's going to happen. The Bible says that one day there will even be a temple reestablished again in Israel, and that the Antichrist, who is also predicted to come, will sit in that very temple and declare himself to be God. You say, you really think that'll happen? Why shouldn't it happen? God is never wrong. The Bible is always right. You can always trust it. So we know that the message that angels are bringing was the right message. It was an honorable one. And you and I have the opportunity to share the same thing. And we shouldn't be afraid to share things like that, because the Word of God clearly teaches them. There's one thing, however, that I think is rather surprising, that the first time I saw this in the Bible, I had to do some significant study to find out if this is really true or not. And what I'm talking about here is in Ephesians chapter 3. There's one other thing that I want to just mention today about angels, and that is the fact that angels not only minister to saints and inform them of certain things and encourage them and all the other things that we talked about today, but do you know that the Church of Jesus Christ is also being used today to inform and to teach angels? You say, what? The church is teaching angels? That's right. I remember the first time I read this. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at what it says there if you have your Bible handy. It says here that, we'll just start it up at verse 8. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. To me, that is Paul, though I am the very least of all the saints, grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light to everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, if you were an Old Testament believer, what did you know about God's plan of salvation? You knew that God had set Israel aside as a special people. But it was only later, when the New Testament message became known through people like the Apostle Paul, those who were entrusted to reveal a mystery that in previous times had not been known. It was only then that people came to find out that God wasn't going to be just working with Israel, but that he was also going to be working with Gentiles as well, and that he was going to bring these two groups together in one spiritual body that is called the church. The church is a very precious thing because it's not just made up of believers. It's made up of believers who are both Jews and Gentiles alike. The Bible very clearly tells us that under the Old Covenant, God was working with Abraham, the believer, and his seed. But you know, now under the new and better covenant in which we live, God has broken down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, and now the promises are being made to the church of Jesus Christ. Now angels are able to see something that they had no idea of what God was planning to do. God is bringing people from all over the world, Jew, Gentile alike, doesn't matter what their culture is or what their background is. He's bringing them together in one spiritual body. And while this is happening, as God is working this plan with his church, what is happening is that the angels are learning all about God's plan through what he's doing with us. I'll never forget having learned this because the time came when I may have told you this story, or at least some of you this story, but when I was graduating from Grand Rapids Baptist Seminary, I was asked, every one of the students that graduated had to have a meeting with two of the professors. And at that time, the professors were allowed to ask you any questions that they wanted to find out if you were a heretic or whether you were worthy to be graduating from their institution. Well, I'll never forget that event, because when it was my turn to have this examination take place, the professors that were there, one of them happened to be the dean of the whole seminary. And I thought, oh, this is going to be really frightening, because James Greer was a very intelligent man. He's no longer with us anymore, but a very wonderful scholar and a real man of God. But I'll never forget the other professor that was there. He got to start off the first question. And here's what the question was. What is God doing in the world today? Now, that's a pretty big question, and you can pretty well imagine that that question could take you anywhere you wanted to go. But you know what? I had been reading the book of Ephesians a few weeks beforehand. And when they asked that question, what is God doing in the world today? The answer was right there at the top of my head. I said, God is bringing glory to himself through the bringing of salvation to an elect people of both Jews and Gentiles, and he's doing this not only for their benefit, but for the benefit of the angels who are in heaven too. And I'll never forget, James Greer got a big smile on his face, and he looked at that other professor and he said, I told you this is going to be an easy one. You know what? That was the only question I had to answer. You say, well, weren't they supposed to ask you more questions from that? They were. But that they used that question to be the jumping off point for all these other things. But they figured the answer had been clear enough that they just decided to sit and talk with me the rest of the time. And we never did get any more questions. Maybe I got off too easy. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I was happy about it. But you see, that's really what God is doing in the world. God is doing what? He's bringing a plan of salvation involving people from all over the world, bringing elect people together, forming them into one spiritual body. He's doing that for what reason? Not just for our salvation, but to bring glory to himself. And he's doing this whole thing not only for our benefit, but even for the benefits of the angels. You say, why in the world would angels need any kind of teaching or instruction? After all, they've been in living in heaven for how long? Yes, they have. But you know what? It was in heaven also where there was a rebellion that occurred a long time ago. And God is still teaching angels that His way is always the right way, that He has the right kind of wisdom. Look at that scripture again here that I just read. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Angels need to continue to learn about what? How wise God really is. You know, that word manifold there is a rather interesting one too. It's a way of referring to, some of you ladies I know like to do embroidery, or you like to make quilts or whatever. And, you know, if you look at a quilt from one side, it doesn't look like much maybe because that shows all the places where, you know, the different strands come together. But when you look at it from the front side, you see that all of these colors are beautifully woven together, and you have something very, very beautiful there. And that's what this word manifold really means here in the Greek text. It's talking about the beauty of an embroidered pattern that shows a variety of colors, just like if you happen to have a bouquet of flowers. And you look at that bouquet and you see all these different types of flowers in the bouquet. They're all different colors, and yet they all blend together to form a very beautiful bouquet. You know what? That's what God's plan is like. God's plan of salvation is to bring people from all over the world to Himself, to bring them to salvation for His glory and for His honor. And He's doing that for our benefit, and He's also doing it to teach the angels all about how wise He really is. Interesting. Angels are still learning. I suspect when we get to heaven, we're going to keep learning too. I think we're going to keep learning forever and ever and ever. There is always going to be more to learn about God than what we already know. I tell you this in all honesty, you know, the longer I've studied the Bible, the more I feel like I am rather ignorant of the Bible. You say, well, how could you say that after all these years of studying? Because, you know, the more I study, the more I realize how little I know, that there's new things to learn. You find it all over the place. And I think that that's what heaven's going to be like someday, too, that we're going to be learning more and more and more about our great salvation and our great God who made all of it possible. Well, just as angels are learning, we need to learn, too. We need to learn everything we can. We need to learn whatever God teaches us. Angels in heaven do what? They do what God tells them to do. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who's doing the will of God in heaven? Angels are. Who is to be doing the will of God down here on earth? Well, angels, yes, but also you and I. We're to be doing God's will down here just as they are to be doing God's will up there. And whatever God leads us to do, that's what we are to do. We're not to run our own course. We're not to follow our own way. It's not how we want to do it. It's what God wills. And if God wills it, then that's what we need to do. Believers are to finish and to fulfill God's will, even as the angels of heaven do the same. I can only say that as we're now ready to leave this year, 2014, and we're about to move into a brand new year. You always hear people talking about, well, I'm going to make some New Year's resolutions. Well, the only really New Year's resolution that I need is what? To find out what God wants me to do and then do it. That's what our life is all about. Real success means what? Finding God's will for your life and doing it with His help, for His glory, for the good of others. And when you find that, you have everything you need to know about how to be living in the year 2015. It's all about doing what? Hearing what God is saying to us and doing it for His glory and for His praise. Let's pray together now. Father, we are thankful that you have taken such an interest in each one of us as people, that you have used angels to bring messages to your people, that you have used angels to guard them and protect them, that you have used them also to encourage them in times of difficulty, that you have also used angels to point us to the prophetic future and many of the things that we long to know about, things that in former times were hidden but are now made known. Lord God, we're thankful that you did not leave us in the dark, but that you minister to us in such incredible ways, even through the use of angel messengers. Thank you, Lord, for all that they do on our behalf because of your plan and your greatness and your glory. Hear our prayer now, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.